Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Revelation 3. And I read especially as a text verse for the sermon, verse 8, Revelation 3, verse 8, where we read as follows: I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The theme for the sermon is consolation for a weak church. 3 points of attention. The first point, an open door. The second point, enemies will come and worship. And the third point, God's children will be kept. So the theme is consolation for a weak church. 3 points, an open door, enemies will come and worship, and God's children will be kept. Beloved congregation, it is not so long ago, a few weeks maybe, that a neighborhood woman asked me to try to open her door. She had locked herself outside. Maybe you ever experienced that. You have, you know, doors that you can lock at the inside and go out, and then if you have the key inside, then you are in trouble because you can't re-enter the house. So she asked me if I could open the door, and I tried, but yeah, I couldn't do it. She said, you can even break the door if you want. I said, I wouldn't like that, but probably I wouldn't have been able so easily to do that. You feel really powerless. You feel how impossible it is if you don't have that important thing, the key. Then you are not able to enter. And the Lord Jesus, coming to this church in Philadelphia, in this letter to write to them, and he is talking about the key of David. He, the son of David, he is having the key. And he is writing this letter to this church. It's a small church. It's a weak church. Weak, we can think about number. We can think about political influence. We can think about wealth. And still, this is a church. In this letter, we do not read that the Lord Jesus is writing censure against this church. There's no reproach against this church. So this is one of the two where we find in those 7 letters where we find no reproach against the church. This small, this weak church, the Lord says, I know thy works. And then he's adding no censure, no reproach. Why is that? The Lord knows the hearts, isn't it? It says, he that is true, Christ is speaking, he that is the truth himself, he that will not flatter, he that will not lie, he is speaking. And why are there no words of warning against this church? Is this a perfect church? Is there nothing lacking in this church? Are all the members of this church perfect? No, certainly not. They have their sins every day. There are many things that are lacking in this church. So what is making the difference? Well, the Lord says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And that is teaching us. And we know this is the only way how a church can be in the right position so that there is no reproach from the side of the Holy God, from the side of Christ, if the daily sins are laid upon Christ, are brought to Him. All that is lacking in this church, they bring it to the Lord to find grace and mercy within Him. What a wonderful thing that is the way to be a church in this world full of turmoil, full of temptation. As church members with a heart that is by nature so restless and still experiencing the power of the flesh, that we daily would go to this Savior to bring that load of our sin and guilt to Him, so that there will be no reproach, because He takes it, He took it when He was nailed on the cross to make us free of that burden of guilt and sin. You know that? That peace in your heart, peace with God, being justified by faith alone. You know that tender communion with the Lord, that you feel His sweet communion, His favor, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake, in your heart and life. Every day, bring your load of sin and guilt to this Savior. His blood is so powerful. Why would you not do that? Why would you not cry out in your need while you are poor, but He is rich and there's grace in abundance in Him? Yeah, it's a weak church. They have little strength. That's what the Lord Jesus says, little strength. Not powerful. That's not easy, is it? To have little strength. People that grow older, they know how hard it is to have little strength, to lose your strength. We like to be strong. We want to be powerful. You want to make a success in this world. You want to be able to do the things you like to do. That's how we are. And here is a church, they have little strength. You know what it is? To be weak. You cannot do what you want to do. There are things that are really too hard. You have to give up. You have to admit, I cannot. That's hard for us, isn't it? We will try, I'll make it, I'll do it. But to come to a point that you have to say, no, I cannot. I have little strength. That's humbling. That's not easy for us. But here is a church, and the Lord Jesus says that they have, thou hast a little strength. But this is a church where we read no reproach against them, no warning of the Lord Jesus. So, do we not have to say that those things go together? When we are weak, that is such a good situation to be prepared, to be willing to give it up, to expect it from the Lord, to surrender to the Savior, to be willing to be helped. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that in the time that I'm a pastor, that, you know, in churches that sometimes you really could say they have little strength, or they're not such a good church, not a good denomination even, that you saw such a tender fear of the Lord. There was nothing they could boast in. They were weak. they are not so good. So they needed grace. They needed mercy. And that was their daily, you could say their daily bread. To live out of Christ. Well, if you take it the other way around, churches that do very well, and you know, we all pray that a church will be blessed, do not misunderstand me, and that a church will be in a good position, but there's always the danger that we become proud of what we are and what we have, and that we become self-satisfied and self-righteous, and that we do not see our need of the Lord Jesus. Why is it that a church is growing in the poor parts of the world, in the southern parts, you could say, the church is growing, while in the rich parts of the world, in Europe, in America and North America, you see many churches close their doors. Why is it? Because the outward circumstances easily make people to think that they can manage themselves. So outward need can be used by the Lord to reveal our inward need and to work a sincere faith and trust in our life. Yeah, it's amazing how the Lord is working. Many times so surprising. Many times that you wouldn't expect it. Many times that you, with your reasoning, you would expect it different. But the Lord does it in His own way. Why? So that there would be no boasting in man, but that we would be amazed about His work. And that we would acknowledge, yes, this is the work of the Lord. This is not done by man. Thou hast a little strength. So are you weak? I'm glad about that. Not that not that it's easy, of course, but oh, it's such a good position to be depending on the Lord. There was a pastor in my youth when I was a boy. I don't know if I would do it, but you know, sometimes we would say, well, I wish you strength. And he would say, well, I wish you weakness. He means, you know, like what Paul would say in the letter to the Corinthians, when I'm weak, then I'm mighty. If you really are aware that you cannot do it yourself, that you would look to the power of the Lord, to His grace and mercy, to His help, that faith would be worked in your heart, so that you would depend on the Lord. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. So Philadelphia is a city that is wealthy. They have fertile fields near the city, and they are located on a point where two ways, where people that would trade, travel, two of those ways come together there. So it's a very good position for a city, and they are wealthy because of those circumstances. And there is a small, there's a church with little strength. And now the Lord is writing to this church, and He is gonna encourage this church with little strength. I know thy works. Sometimes we are afraid of doing that. Say, well, you shouldn't say too much about the good things that someone is doing, because it would make him or her proud. Well, we shouldn't flatter, that is true, but we should not forget to see the good things that the Lord has worked through others, and we all need some encouragement, some words to encourage in what you are doing. Isn't that true? But oh, let us do it to the glory of the Lord. And yeah, then we should not be silent about what the Lord has done through others. I know thy works. This is what the Lord Jesus is speaking to this church. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What does that mean? This church with little strength has received an open door. I couldn't open that door of that neighbor lady. Really felt impossible for me it was. The Lord says, I have set before thee an open door. So what they cannot do, the Lord has done. It's making it clear that they couldn't do it in their own strength. But the Lord has done it. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What does it mean, an open door? You can think about a door that we have closed in paradise by our sin and disobedience. We have closed the door to the Lord, and we cannot open the door. But in Christ there is a way for restoration, to be restored in that relationship to the Lord, in that communion to the living God. That's what the Lord has done here. He has been drawing people out of the darkness to his amazing light in Christ. And we all by nature are before that closed door that we cannot open. You experience that? Oh, perhaps it feels like a wall. I cannot come through it. I know. Listen what the Lord says. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength. Yeah, they cannot do it. They have little strength. So the Lord is doing it. We can say our impossibility is the possibility of the Lord. When we get stuck, then it's time for the Lord to work, isn't it? When we come to a point that we have to quit our own works to get the favor of the Lord, then we will look upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness. When we get aware that our righteousness is like filthy rags, oh, then we look for other righteousness. How can it be right between the Lord and my soul? How can I stand before the holy God? I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But it's not only about what the Lord has done to their personal lives. When we read about an open door, many times we will think, because Paul is using it in such a way, for we will think about an opportunity to evangelize others or to spread a gospel, to be fruitful to the glory of God and salvation of souls. Paul is saying that the Lord has given him an open door so that he could do the mission work, preach the gospel, preach Christ in his world. The Lord says to this church with a little strength, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They have little strength. Isn't that a reason that they kept his word? There is their strength. And they didn't deny his name. They couldn't do without this precious name, because they have such a little strength in themselves. So the name of the Lord became a strong tower for them to hide themselves within him. Oh yeah, I'm not saying that you cannot be saved if you have a strong body. That's not what I'm saying. No, But I really hope that the Lord will open your eyes, that you see your weakness. And that's painful. I see it more and more. How many years is it now that the Lord has worked in my life? 25? More, even. Almost 30 years. And still, every day, I see it deeper and deeper. I'm not saying that I'm as much aware of it every day, but I see I have to learn deeper and deeper my own weakness. And Christ becomes more and more precious to me. If it was not for His name, there was no hope. If I didn't know that precious name, that only name, there was no hope for my soul. I really would have to perish for all eternity. I'm very strongly convinced about that. But now, I have so little strength in myself. But He is so powerful and so faithful. He is so good and so mighty. And there's hope in my heart and there's expectation. And I cannot live without the word of the Lord, although, oh, I should study it more than I do. I should pray more. I should meditate more. But I can sincerely say, it's the most precious thing to my heart. I'm disappointed in myself, but not in the Lord. I have a little strength. But the Lord has given an open door. Where the Lord is working, He is not working because there's a person that is powerful in himself, used in His hand. No, most times it's the opposite. Not because of that person is so gifted in himself. No, it is the power of the Spirit. And our power and our gifts can be so much a hindrance for the work of the Lord. For it's all about the glory of His name. The Lord will certainly not give His glory to man, to someone else. He is jealous for His name's glory. So where we acknowledge that we are so weak in ourselves, then we are fit to be used as a powerful tool in His hand. I'm the least of the apostles, Paul said, but I've labored more than all of them. He is weak, he had a thorn in his flesh, but used by the Lord so much. I've given an open door and no man can shut it. He is the one that is having the key. And He is opening, and He is also using man to open the door of the gospel, you could say, so that sinners will be saved. And that what He is writing in this letter, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." So isn't that the open door that He is giving? He's going to bless this church with little strength so that others will come before their feet to acknowledge the Lord. They couldn't do that. They had little strength. But that made them so useful. That made them so much a blessing there in Philadelphia for the salvation of those that were before in enmity. So, that's our second point. Enemies will come and worship. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. So here is the true one, Christ, speaking and revealing the lie there in Philadelphia. There are people that do lie. Which people are that? We do not read here about persecution of the world so much. Could be that there is, but the emphasis is on this enmity. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. So there's a synagogue there of Jews. And the Lord Jesus says, but it is a synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. That are strong words, isn't it? So those Jews, they say, well, you Christians, you do not belong to the living Lord, to the living God. You lie. You say that Christ is the Son of God. You are deceiving. Yeah, we had a man, a Jew, it's so sad, coming when I was a boy to the farm to buy calves. And my father said to him, what do you think of Christ? Said he was a deceiver. That's sad. And now those Jews that say to Christians, you Christians, you lie. You are wrong. And they would throw them out of the synagogue. And now Christ says, well, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. It makes us think about what the Lord Jesus says when he is on earth. He's writing this letter through his servant. But when he was on earth, he had such a discussion with the Jews. He says in John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it is the same. What the Lord Jesus here is writing. So those that are opposing the church, those that are opposing the children of God, those that serve the Lord with their enmity, they are doing the work of Satan. Those that are opposing Christ and the truth, the proclamation of the gospel, they do the work of Satan. That's why Christ says they are the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. Now, if you are children of Abraham's, what the Lord Jesus says, then you would have to do the works of Abraham. There should be that living faith in your life. What will be seen in the works. And that's to be a child of Abraham. But you are children of the devil because you lie and you reject me. Who's the truth? Oh, how sad. You can really cry if you think about it. Religious people, people that know the word, but resisting the work of God, the children of God, those that serve the Lord, and now here they find Christ opposing them. And one day, if they will not convert, they will find Christ as their judge, revealing everything in their evil hearts. Oh, you can cry if you think about that. Which say they are Jews, they boast in it. There you have it. They boast in what they have, what they are, and they are not. They do not belong to the living God. They are not a people of God, really, in a true way, because they do the work of Satan. They lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. They will come. That's really the work of the Lord. He has given an open door that those enemies will come, those that show enmity, they will come before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. It can be understood in two ways. That they will come before thy feet. Well, we read it sometimes, you know, in scripture, that the heathen kings in Babylon or wherever it might be, they acknowledged that the God of Israel was the living God, although we do not see that they really repented and were converted. That's one way that it can be understood. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. But the other way to understand it is that they really come with a change in their heart, worked by the Lord, and that's, I'm inclined to understand it that way. And to come and worship before thy feet, not worship them, but worship the Lord, and show respect also to the children of God, respect to them because they see the work of God in their lives and they acknowledge, they admit it, and they came to worship themselves before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Wonderful. That's not too hard for the Lord to change the hearts of enemies, those that oppose us in this world. If we really fear the Lord, there will be opposition. If we live a godly life, we will in one or other way experience that the world hates us. But the Lord is able to change that hate. I read an article of a pastor who's doing work amongst Muslims. He said, let us pray for those men of ISIS, Islamic State. And many of them are very young even. And they aren't they seeking? And oh, that we would be used so that they will find the love of Christ for their empty hearts, or we could say the hearts that are filled by hate against the living God. It's not too hard for the Lord. They're doing such cruel things. Did not Paul kill Christians? Was not Paul used by the Lord in a very special and powerful way to save many? Let us pray for them. That the Lord will give an open door amongst Muslims so that they will be saved. To know that I have loved thee. They see it in their lives and they acknowledge the work of the Lord. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 73, stanza 1 till 4. Psalter 73, stanza 1. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 73, stanza 1 till 4. Congregation, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. God's children will be kept, because they have kept the word of his patience. What is that? The word of his patience. Do you have patience, children? Can you wait? That's hard, isn't it? Wait for a nice thing that you are looking forward to. When will the day be my birthday that I get a present? I cannot wait. It's taking so long before the day is there. Or if you experience a hard situation, to have patience. We can be very angry then, irritated. You can start to shout, isn't it? No patience. We would say in the Netherlands, patience is such a beautiful thing. It's so important. And it's so hard for us. And now the Lord says, thou hast kept the word of my patience. Patience is an important thing in the word of God. Patience has to do with faith. Children of God receive that when the Holy Spirit is working faith in the heart, they receive that fruit of patience in their life. Where we exercise faith, then we practice also patience. And we can understand that. How long did it take before the Lord Jesus was born in this world? He was promised for many, many ages. And then took so long. And between the Old and New Testament, 400 years of darkness. 400 years. How long did Abram have to wait before he got a promised son? It was so long that it was impossible for a long time already. How long do we wait for the day already that the Lord Jesus will return? That's what the souls in heaven cry. How long, O God? How long will your tribulation be? Children of God can be in a long time of affliction or times of darkness that last long. And in a certain way we have to say, all children of God get a cross on their shoulders that the Lord is using to sanctify. And it's not nice, it's not easy, it's not when you look upon it as such, but if you see what comes from it, if you see the result, if you see the fruit, then you can thank the Lord. Lord, it's good for me to have oppression in my life. But you need patience to endure, to persevere. And then Satan will be there. Do you really think that the word of God is true? Why do you not experience it more? Why do you not see that there is a heavenly Father for you? You are in such a hard trial, tribulation. So hard that you feel that your strength is too little. Yeah, that's what the Lord wants you to feel. So that you will need the power of Christ in your heart to comfort you, to uphold you, to bear you. And you don't like it. We want to have power in ourselves and success and things that we can boast in. And the Lord is cutting it off. So that we will boast in Christ and that we will keep his word of patience. Oh, what a teaching we need to be patient. To trust the Lord by faith when we do not see anything of it. When it sees that enemies are powerful, they can continue with their lying and their enmity. till a certain point in time that the Lord will say, now it's enough. And then one of the two, he will break them or convert them. I've given an open door to you, and they will come and acknowledge before your feet. You pray for that. You pray for your enemies. You pray those who resist you in your face, or most times it's behind your back. You pray for them, that the Lord will open their eyes so that they will see what they are doing, and that they will repent and be saved. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. It's only by the word that you can have that patience of faith in your life. How much patience was there in the life of Christ? How patient was he when he was on earth and they resisted him all the time, and they tried to catch him on his word all the time, and he was walking there meek, honest. He would say it to them to warn them if their eyes could be opened. He would say to Judas, he would say to the Pharisees, he would warn Peter. Yeah, we have to be honest, but meek, patient, endure, persevere by the power of the word. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The hour of temptation. Oh, there was temptation in their time, persecution of the Caesars of Rome. And we know from Scripture that there will be temptation at the end of world history. Antichrist will be exercising power in this world over the whole world. And we see the technical means are there. And a false prophet to support it with his lies. Oh, what a temptation. And many will fall off from the church. And now the Lord says, but I, and we have to remember that this letter is not only written to Philadelphia, but those seven letters are written to those churches, but at the same time to all churches, to us. I will keep thee. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. They cannot, they have little strength. The Lord is giving his precious promise to keep his children, which shall come upon all the world. So, it doesn't mean that he will keep them from that hour in such a way that they will not experience it. No, it shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Will come to them also, but he will keep them. You could say, in the hour of temptation, he will show his power to this church of little strength, so that they will be kept by the Lord. You understand that? Children of God, you have experienced that. Those times that the Lord kept you in the hour of temptation in your life. Oh, that you really saw, I'm too weak to take all this what is happening, or this temptation. But that the Lord, by his word, was as a wall around you, keeping your heart and your mind in peace. You didn't understand how it happened, but it was the work of the Lord. It was his goodness. According to his word, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. The Lord is mighty. It's easy for him to do that. He's doing that with his persecuted children in this world, where they are suffering in jail or however it might be. He's keeping their hearts and mind in peace by the power of his word, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So what is the way to be kept? keep the word of his patience. Those that deny the Lord, they will usually have lost the word before they deny the Lord. There is a power in the word. Maybe you think sometimes, well, I know it. I've heard it many times. You have to keep the word. The word should be within you. Christ should be within you. By the power of his word, we forget it all the time. Isn't that true? And we have to experience that power again and again, so that we will not deny the Lord. The word should be in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. That's why you study the word, children. That's why you memorize it. It has to be in your heart, so that the word of the lie of Antichrist or Satan will not have power over your heart and mind. How many are under the power of the lie of Satan? We are by nature. We need the word of the truth have power over us to rule our lives. Behold, I come quickly. What do you feel when you hear that? Behold, I come quickly. Joy or fear? Are you scared for the day the Lord will come quickly? It's not so long. But maybe you say, well, it's lasting thousands of years already. Thousands of years. It means the Lord is not delaying. He is coming quickly, as fast as possible. When all things are fulfilled that have to be fulfilled, well, when all elect will be saved, he will be there. I come quickly. It's an encouragement to this church. It's scaring for those that resist him. He will come quickly. Make haste. It's now the time of grace. It's a time to be saved by his own work, so that you will see and judge your Savior. Hold that fast which thou hast. The Lord has worked in their lives. And oh, that they, by the grace of God, would hold that fast which they have. That no man take thy crown. There's a crown for the children of God. It's like the people that run in a competition, they in those days would hang a crown at the end, you know, at the end where they have to go while they were running. And then there they would receive the crown. And now we see that crown also revealed in the word, that the Lord has prepared that glory, that joy, that beauty for his children, that peace, that perfect experience of being with the Lord. Oh, that they will not take that crown. Yeah, we should watch and pray. Satan attacks all the time to take it away. He is busy to do that, to try that. But oh, hold fast which thou hast, child of God. You say, I'm weak, I've little strength. Yes. And now see the promise of the Lord. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So it's the work of the Lord. And at the same time, the Lord says, hold that fast. We have to watch and pray, depending on the Lord, so that they will not take our crown, that we will not creep in the mud of sin to lose the crown of the work of Christ. I know where the Lord started his work, he will finish it for sure. At the same time, we have to watch so that they will not take our crown. Oh, that we will experience that He is the one that is lifting us up, putting on that rock again and again, every day, His power. Him that overcometh. Yeah, it's a fight of faith. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. They could cast them out of the synagogue, and they did. But I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar that's a symbol of strength and power, and they have little strength. But in the Lord they are mighty, and the Lord will make them a pillar in the temple of thy God. You cannot imagine how great that will be. That full revelation of the glory of God in your life. And I will write upon them, upon him, the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. So they will not have the sign of the beast. Revelation 13. The name of God will be clear that they belong to the Lord. It is his own work. He will write it upon them. And which is in the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven. We do not build that from earth to heaven, but it comes down. It's God's work. The church is a work of the Lord, one day revealed in full glory and beauty. It's not like the Tower of Babylon that we try to build up to come into heaven. That's our sinful pride. But the work of the Lord is that we have expectation from his work, from heaven coming down to this earth. And I will write upon him my new name. Yeah, the Lord will make you new in Christ. And now you do not experience it fully. One day you will. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us hear. And oh, believe and be saved. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, we pray that thou would keep thy work in the midst of the days, in this world history, and thou art doing it. It is so secure, it's so sure. We cannot do it. Oh, but that we might be used as a tool in thy hand. We have a little strength, but that thou would give an open door so that enemies will come and worship, that we might see it and give thee the glory, rejoice in thee, Lord, overcome enmity in this world. And oh, we find the world within, in our hearts. What a miracle we can say, the Lord has been overcoming the enmity within my heart, so that he reconciled me with himself by the blood of his Son. Bless thy word, O Lord, and forgive everything that was not according to thy holy will. And be with us when we have the catechism and Sunday school classes. Give the wisdom to teach and give hearts to listen. And bless it, O Lord, to thy glory. We pray to work in the neighborhood here downtown where we are as a church, to overcome enmity. We pray to work in jail where we go, hope to go this afternoon, that thou wouldst overcome enmity. And those that are not having an open door because they are locked up in prison, that thou would give an open door there in prison, in their hearts, also to us. Lord, bless thy work in Grand Rapids, among the homeless people. We pray that Thou would work powerfully in the hearts of young people. In our church, we pray for those that have turned their back to Thee and to the church. Oh, bring them back, O Lord. Remember Thy covenant. Do it for Thy name's sake, so that they will be saved. Oh, that we all might be in that uncountable multitude to give Thee the praise and the honor and the glory. Thou art worthy to receive that. Hear our prayers, O Lord, in the forgiveness of our many sins, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.